Narratives in Malaysian Art is an ambitious project that will see four separate volumes of essays on visual art in Malaysia, from its thematic preoccupations, its critical foundations, to, you know, infrastructure and discussions and debates in the current art scene. I'm here with one of the two chief editors, Beverly Yong, who's also the director and co-founder of Rouge Art. So, I mean, it's really quite a momentous, ambitious project. I mean, how did it come about, Beverly?
Well, ambitious, yes. Well, it's actually been something I think a lot of people have been thinking about over, if you like, even decades. Before Reza Piyadasa, who's a critic and artist, passed away, we'd actually started talking about some sort of collection of essays on Malaysian art. And then that was more than 10 years ago, I think. And then just recently, in around 2009, it just felt right. I think the time had come to try and make this project possible. So I got together with a group of editors and we sat down and brainstormed what this sort of project or book might be.
All right, so I mean, it's not organized in any chronological sort of, I mean, there's a timeline and stuff like that, but it's not, you know, 1890 to 1940, which is interesting. So how did you come up with the thematic approaches?
Well, it was really important that we didn't try to give a single linear history of art. I mean, first of all, we're not really qualified. I think in Malaysia, there's a lot of work to be done in terms of research into our art history and documentation. But the point was really to bring together different voices in Malaysian art and to try to cover different types of art writing, both more academic type research, artists writing on art, which has been a very strong element actually in our art history, as well as art journalists, art workers. Mm-hmm. So we bring all these things together. Thematically, we looked at, I suppose, the major aspects of what you might call an art scene. So one, obviously, the art history, and then the current practice of art, then also the infrastructure mm-hmm. side of art, institutions and the market and so forth. So those constitute volume one and two. Volumes one and two are really about the art history and art practice. Volume three looks at infrastructures, and then volume four is called perspectives, mm-hmm. which will be really looking at major issues or ways of presenting art, more of a kind of discursive volume.
All right. I mean, I understand it's sort of a mixture of, you know, previously published articles and also commissioned works. So it's like, you know, archaeology, it's like it's uncovering the past, but it's also inventing. It's sort of a mixture of two, which is quite interesting.
I think we wanted to create a conversation. First of all, we recognize the importance of keeping what had been written in print and for sort of newer generations. A lot of these writings that we republish were written for exhibition catalogs, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and you can't find them anymore. So we thematically, the first volume is called Imagining Identities. And it's in two parts. The first part really tracks the journey from sort of rural to the urban society, as well as looking at the building of the nation and how artists related to these issues. Mm-hmm. And in this first part, we start with Reza Piyadasa's treatment of the local landscape from 1930 to 1981. Now, he gives a nice run-through of Malaysian art history, looking through the Malaysian landscape. So we thought it's a nice way to start. And then we had writers kind of responding to it in a way, writing again about the landscape in a more contemporary sense or from a different angle, writing about the different aspects of artists arriving in Malaya, I suppose, mm-hmm. early on, and how also, as we came up to Merdeka, the agenda of nation building came into mm-hmm. artistic practice. Part two is looking at claiming and reclaiming a cultural identity. So that looks at basically begins, let's say, with the 1971 National Cultural Congress, post-1969 riots, and the struggle to find a national identity mm-hmm. for culture, and obviously visual art is part of that.
But, I mean, it's interesting that you sort of seem to try to make these connections between the past and the present. I mean, do you think, you know, contemporary Malaysian artists are very aware of their past? I mean, do they refer to it? Is it part of their canon, part of their education?
I think for some, I think if there is a fine line as well between, let's say, artists who are maybe starting work in the past 3 years and artists who are practicing from, let's say, 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I think there's less awareness today among younger artists. And this is part of the reason why we do this project, so that both researchers and artists can have these references. Even if you don't want to be referring back, you have this history behind you, mm-hmm. and you want to see what your predecessors.
I mean, in the foreword and introduction, you know, you kind of talk about creating a benchmark in sort of scholarship in Southeast Asia, which is obviously it's ambitious, right? But at the same time, in the process of deciding what goes in and what doesn't, there's a lot of power in that. Is it something that you're wary of?
It's very tough, and we fully expect criticism. and we really, although we, I think Kanaga is TK's Babati who says set a benchmark, I think we had more modest aims. Really, I think we see the Narratives Project as a knowledge project, bringing together the different voices and gathering as much knowledge, information, perspectives as possible at this point to begin more research and discourse.
But do you expect people to go, oh, how come I wasn't included, or why did you choose this?
Oh, absolutely, yeah? Absolutely. There is going to be that. And also, why choose the theme of imagining identities for Volume 1, and Volume 2 is called Reactions, New Critical Strategies, and why do that? Why mm-hmm. divide it up that way?
I guess whatever you do, you'll get questions, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But I guess the theme of you know, national identity, nation building, it's also very current. I mean, I don't know if you feel the same, but there's always a sense of, you know, perhaps our culture is under threat. There's all these issues that happen, you know, from Erykah Badu to book burning. Do you feel that it's, is it something new, or does it just seem new to us?
Well, I think the question of identity in Malaysian art is something that's dogged it for all its life, really. Certainly since the Merdeka years, and actually perhaps slightly less so in the current day. But that's partly the reason why we chose imagining identities as a theme. I think we wanted to make it the sort of subject of art and art history relevant to all Malaysians. And also recognizing that identity has been something that's underscored how art history has been written, I mean, as well as to some extent how it's been practiced.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are sort of the key issues or areas of contestation now in the arts world? I mean, are there kind of huge debates and different schools of thought that are kind of battling each other out? Is it that kind of exciting environment?
I think we're just starting again. I think we're always reinventing it, starting again. Different generations of artists face different issues. And I think, as with the rest of the world and the rest of contemporary art today, we're a little bit, I think we've got less of a sense of conversation as a whole, or as an art community as a whole, than we did maybe 15 years ago.
And why is that? Why is there less critical debate around art? So
I think largely maybe the proliferation. It's just we're bigger. There are more artists. There are more collectors. The market is bigger and stronger. We're less a kind of tight group of people struggling to make ourselves heard, although we are still struggling to make ourselves heard.
But don't you think that when there's more, shouldn't there also be more discussion?
Yes, that's what we're hoping to help achieve. As we were doing the project, we also realized there are new writers studying for their PhDs, more people studying different subjects within Malaysian art history. So I think, you know, in years to come, definitely, I think this will improve.
You talked a little bit about, you know, from Merdeka onwards and the establishment of like an identity and what it means. I mean, is Malaysian art sort of divided along racial or ethnic lines? Is that happened? I mean, I know your book as well has, you know, translated into languages. How does that affect the art production?
I think something that Sulaimanesa, one of the writers and artists in the book, once said, well, in a way it's what makes it exciting. It is a sort of tension. It came to the fore, obviously, in the early 70s and through the 80s with the whole NEP, and then also the National Cultural Congress, National Cultural Policy, and also because art education is somewhat segregated into more sort of communalist schools of work. But I think that the whole point of the Narratives Project is that we bring it all together. That you can read the so-called the story of the Chinese artists and their issues and how they've developed and contributed, and then you can also read the story of how especially Malay artists were looking quite deeply into their traditional roots and their also Islamic beliefs and Islamic art to forge an identity. And the other side of it is that you also have artists and writers who try to find a unified national identity for Malaysian art.
I mean, one of the aspects of the project that's quite fascinating to me is this idea of uncovering and discovering new things. I mean, when you were putting together this first volume, what was the most surprising thing that you kind of came across? I mean, did you learn something that you really had no idea about before?
I think a lot of things became clearer, and I got a deeper understanding of the issues which have, you know, been brought up before. The whole idea of cultural contestation, it's a fairly old story in Malaysian art, especially reading from the point of view of specialists in traditional culture, like city designer Ismail and Rahimuddin Zahari, who write in the second part of the book. You get to see where that point of view comes from, how writers and artists are trying to fit things into a traditional framework or Islamic framework, and the history behind this. There's some fascinating stories and things that have come up from that, for example. And even learning a lot about the Chinese local story through the history of the Chinese artists. I mean, a lot of those facts I did not know. So yes, there's a lot of new material, and there's new research that's been uncovered a little bit as well that we might not know about in general.
I mean, I know oftentimes, like even on radio or whatever, we get accused of having very, you know, Americanized Western cultural influences because that's what we consume on a daily basis. Is that evident in artistic practices today as well? I mean, are people referencing, you know, Rembrandt as opposed to you know, their Chinese roots, or
they might be referencing Damien Hirst. I think
bit of formaldehyde, and that's it, right?
In terms of contemporary art, I think we are so globalized. It's impossible to say that we don't reference. History of art is a pretty international.
But is there a bias? Is there a sense that one culture is better, or I mean, obviously, it's more dominant, right?
Well, one of the issues that comes up in the narrative volume one is this idea of what is modernity? What is modernism? Is it the Western modernism? Is our modern art Western? In the 60s, a lot of the art scene was dominated by sort of an abstract expressionist, perhaps, kind of mode of working. So there's the question of, did we import a Western modernity? This is discussed in many different ways throughout the book. Mm-hmm. But I think as a whole, again, I think the project is really about claiming and discussing. I think the moment we claim our heritage and we discuss it and we talk about it, then it becomes ours, really.
You sort of internalize it, right?
I think if we provide the context and understand the context, and we don't discuss it from a Western point of view, I mean, or a purely Western point of view, if we start seeing it as our own kind of history, however difficult or issue-ridden it is, it becomes part of what we do, and it's something that Zainal Sharif, in the last essay in the book, Towards an Alternative Vision, talks about, or, you know, it's
I mean, there's even a sort of an element of insecurity in having to ask those questions to say, oh, why should we reference, you know, these foreign elements? Because, you know, I'm sure everything is so interconnected now. It's just part of your global identity even, right?
I think that's true right now. I think up to the 90s, cultural identity and Malaysian identity was still a very important issue.
Okay, so I think a lot of obviously there's tons of questions to ask about this topic, and it doesn't seem like the book or the volume, you know, sets out to give concrete answers. It's all discussions, it's different perspectives, right? It's not saying this is the gospel truth.
That's right. Right. There's no gospel truth in
it. So no easy, it's not like a art for dummies sort of book.
I think there is something for everyone, I hope. There are some more academic types of essays, but there are also there are also sort of more biographical pieces where you can, where artists talk about their history, perhaps, for example, in the sculpture over the years, how they've witnessed the development of Malaysian sculpture. And we also have Ooi Kok Chen, who's a veteran art journalist, talking to the Nanyang veterans and how they feel about the Nanyang today. So I think there's a little bit of something for everyone.
But do you think it's a book or that will be accessible to everyone? I mean, who do you see as your market, if you like?
Obviously, we would our core audience would be the art community, artists, researchers. But I think Malaysians really who want to know a bit more about their culture, contemporary culture, modern culture, and the history. I think the art tells you a lot about the history as well.
It's a way of reading history,
yes.
Right? Fascinating. Okay, so I know the first volume is coming out today, which is Saturday. Are you excited? Nervous,
and can't wait to see the actual thing. Yeah, it's still in print right now. The other thing about the Narratives and Malaysian Art Project is that it's really made possible by our supporters, by the art community. And so we'd just like to thank our corporate supporter, Khazanah Heritage and Art Initiative, and our sponsors, National Visual Arts Gallery, Bangsa Village, Gudang Damansara, Malakoff Corporation Berhad, Tenaga Nasional Berhad, Libra Invest, Helitrans Art Movers, Mr. Kenneth Tan, Rosemary and Steve Wong, the 30 Art Friends, and of course the Christian Jit Astro Fund. Thank you.
Great, no worries. And this is all for all you corporate people out there. This is the kind of thing you should be investing in. When can people get their hands on it? Where can they buy it?
Well, we're going to be distributed by MPH, so it should be in most major bookstores in the next few weeks, I hope, as well as in art galleries and online.
And it's a 400-page volume, so by the time you finish reading it, the next one might be out. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
That was Beverly Yong, one of the two chief editors of Narratives in Malaysian Art. Volume 1, called Imagining Identities, is being launched today. And like she said, you can find them soon in MPH. I'm Shifa Situ, and this is I Love KL on BFM 89.9.